Let's continue reading Ezra chapter 8. Now in this chapter, we have the record of those who returned with Ezra to Jerusalem and some of the details concerning the journey. Let's read verses 1 through 23. And we'll skip some verses because of all the hard names here, right? Ezra chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. These are the heads of their fathers' houses, and this is the genealogy of those who went up with me from Babylon in the reign of King Artaxerxes. Of the sons of Phinehas, Gershom. Of the sons of Ithamar, Daniel. Of the sons of David, Hattush. Of the sons of Shechaniah. Of the sons of Parash, Zechariah. And registered with him were 150 males. Now from verses 4 through 15, we have other family lines listed and the number of men joining Ezra. Let's pick it up in verse 15. Now I gathered them by the river that flows to Ahava, and we camped there 3 days. And I looked among the people and the priests and found none of the sons of Levi there. Then I sent for Eleazar, Ariel, Shemaiah, Elnathan, Jerib, Elnathan, Nathan, Zechariah, and Meshullam, leaders, also for Joiarib and Elnathan, men of understanding. And I gave them a command for Iddo, the chief man at the place Casiphia, and I told them what they should say to Iddo and his brethren, the temple servants at the place Casiphia, that they should bring us servants for the house of our God. Then by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding, of the sons of Mahlai, the son of Levi, the son of Israel, namely Sherebiah with his sons and brothers, 18 men, and Hashabiah, and with him Jeshiah, of the sons of Merari, his brothers and their sons, 20 men. Also of the temple servants, whom David and the leaders had appointed for the service of the Levites, 220 temple servants, all of them were designated by name. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him the right way for us, for our little ones, and all our possessions. For I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy on the road, because we had spoken to the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all those for good who seek him, but his power and his wrath are against all those who forsake him. So we fasted and entreated our God for this, and he answered our prayer. Once again, let's consider some background notes. We've seen in our studies of Ezra thus far that there are a number of dates to be remembered. One of the best ways to remember the sequence of events surrounding the captivity of the Jews in Babylon is to remember that there were three phases going into the captivity and three phases coming out of the captivity. The three phases going into the captivity were as follows. Phase 1. In 605 BC, Nebuchadnezzar entered Judah and took Daniel and others as captives to Babylon. Phase 2. In 597 BC, Nebuchadnezzar again entered Judah and captured Jerusalem and took Ezekiel and others, including the king, as captives to Babylon. Phase number 3. In 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar completely conquered the kingdom of Judah and destroyed the temple, the beautiful temple that Solomon had built. Now for the three phases of the return from exile. Phase 1. In 538 BC, about 50,000 Jews returned under the leadership of Zerubbabel as a result of the edict of Cyrus the Persian. Under Phase 1, they finally got the temple rebuilt in 516 BC. Phase 1 is covered in chapters 1 through 6 of the book of Ezra. Phase 2. In 458 BC, Ezra returned with about 2,000 Jews. This phase is covered here in chapters 7 through 10 of Ezra. Phase 3. In 445 BC, Nehemiah returned and motivated the people to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem, the walls that had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. So much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for Ezra chapter 8. Doctrinal point number 1. A godly leader prays about everything. A godly leader prays about everything. Ezra was a godly leader. He not only had natural leadership abilities, but he had God-given spiritual ability as well, to lead God's people. And Ezra gladly took on the responsibility associated with spiritual leadership. That's why Ezra chapters 7 through 10 are great chapters to study in reference to this important topic, spiritual leadership. Now, we've already seen in chapter 7 the foundation necessary for being a godly leader. Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, once again, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel." Ezra was committed to the Lord, and to the Lord's word, and to the Lord's work, essential for a spiritual leader. Now here in chapter 8, we see Ezra as a godly leader in action. One example of Ezra's spiritual leadership was his ability to get some more Levites to go back to Jerusalem. Verse 15, Levites, you remember, were responsible for maintaining the temple. So going back to Jerusalem meant a lot of work for the Levites. Most of them were reluctant to go back. You can see why. Living in Babylon was not a bad deal for the Levites. But Ezra was able to persuade some Levites to join the group. As a result of his inspiring and maybe convicting message, 38 Levites and 220 other temple servants were motivated to sign up for the return trip to Jerusalem. Now, folks, this takes spiritual leadership to motivate reluctant people. Ezra had that ability. Now notice how Ezra proclaimed a time of prayer and fasting before they started on their four-month journey. Verse 21. Let me ask you, how many of you pray for safety on the road before you take a long trip? Well, that's biblical praying right here. Ezra did it. We should follow the same example. Pray for safety. How many of you pray for the safety of your possessions on the luggage rack when you take a long journey? Well, if you haven't done that, might as well start doing it. That's biblical praying. Look at verse 21 again. They not only prayed that the Lord would protect them, give them the right way, for us and our children and the stuff on the luggage rack. There it is, our possessions. Ezra prayed about everything, and so should we. In verse 22, we see that Ezra decided not to request an armed guard from the king for the journey. Now, this would not have been wrong, but Ezra prayed about this matter, and God gave the answer. Verse 23, "So we fasted and entreated our God for this, and he answered our prayer." So Ezra prayed about everything. What an example. A godly leader prays about everything. Doctrinal point number two. A godly leader uses common sense. A godly leader uses common sense. Verses 24 through 34. "And I separated 12 of the leaders of the priests, Sherebiah, Hashabiah, and 10 of their brethren with them, and weighed out to them the silver, the gold, and the articles, the offering for the house of our God, which the king and his counselors and his princes and all Israel who were present had offered. I weighed into their hands 650 talents of silver, silver articles weighing 100 talents, 100 talents of gold, 20 gold basins worth 1,000 drachmas, and 2 vessels of fine polished bronze, precious as gold. And I said to them, 'You are holy to the Lord. The articles are holy also. And the silver and the gold are a freewill offering to the Lord God of your fathers. Watch and keep them until you weigh them before the leaders of the priests and the Levites and heads of the fathers' households of Israel in Jerusalem, in the chambers of the house of the Lord.' So the priests and the Levites received the silver and the gold and the articles by weight to bring them to Jerusalem to the house of our God. Then we departed from the river of Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go to Jerusalem. And the hand of our God was upon us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy and from ambush along the road. So we came to Jerusalem and stayed there 3 days. Now on the 4th day, the silver and the gold and the articles were weighed in the house of our God by the hand of Meremoth, the son of Uriah the priest, and with him was Eleazar, the son of Phinehas. With them were the Levites, Jozabad, the son of Jeshua, and Noadiah, of the sons of Binui, with the number and weight of everything. All the weight was written down at that time. We see that Ezra returned to Jerusalem with a lot of money and valuables for support of the Lord's work. It would be worth about $20 million today. Now, that's a lot of money, isn't it? Now, anytime you have a lot of money around, there must be accountability, or some of the money just might do the disappearing act, even in the church. Many sad stories could be given here. Well, Ezra, as a godly leader, used his God-given common sense and divided up the money between 24 responsible men, including 12 priests, and made them accountable to one another, as we see in verse 24. And notice in verses 25 and 26 that a careful weighing of the money was made before the journey. And then comes the serious exhortation from Ezra in verses 28 and 29. These 24 men took their responsibility seriously. And we see from verse 34 that all the money was accounted for at the end of the trip. Verse 34, all the weight was written down at that time. Not a dime was missing. Notice that Ezra, as a godly leader, did not handle the money himself. This too is common sense, not only from the standpoint of temptation, but for appearance sake. No one could accuse Ezra of dipping into the treasury for a personal loan. Handling money in the Lord's work requires a lot of God-given common sense. A godly leader uses common sense. Practical application. Remember, worship comes before service. Remember, worship comes before service. Verses 35 and 36. The children of those who had been carried away captive, who had come from the captivity, offered burnt offerings to the God of Israel, 12 bulls for all Israel, 96 rams, 77 lambs, and 12 male goats as a sin offering. All this was a burnt offering to the Lord. And they delivered the king's orders to the king's satraps and the governors in the region beyond the river. So they gave support to the people and the house of God. When the exiles with Ezra arrived in Jerusalem, they worshiped the Lord with sacrifices. Verse 35. Then they served the Lord by supporting God's people and God's house. Verse 36. This is always the divine order. Worship before service. Now it's true that service to the Lord is actually a form of worship in itself. And true worship and true service go together, because there can't be one without the other. If you're truly worshiping the Lord, it's bound to result in some kind of service. Otherwise, you're just going through the motions in order to feel good. And if you're truly serving the Lord, it's bound to result in worship, or you're just serving for selfish reasons. So both go together, worship and service. But still, the divine order that we see in Scripture is worship comes before service. Remember, worship comes before service.